Hi, and welcome to a currently unnamed film podcast. I'm Jessica.
I'm Henma.
I'm Space.
And today we watched M from 1931, where a child murderer makes his way through a small section of Germany. I don't know exactly where this is happening. And the town falls into chaos as they try to solve it, and eventually is put down to a courtroom full of the citizens, where they vote for his murder before he is taken away to be tried at the real court. And the question is, whether his mental health excuses his actions, I guess.
Yeah, because he says that he has a voice in his head which tells him to kill the people. Or I don't know if it tells him to kill the people.
But
the
only time he
gets rid of the voice.
Looking over you again.
The only time he gets rid of the voice is when he's killing one of the kids. And it's should I say what
it
it's meant
reads
to be?
As OCD.
Well, yeah.
But with murder.
It's like, yeah. But
Wait. Are you going to give, like, the real take?
Well, no, give...
No, he's going to get the fake one.
No, give your fake ones, and then I'll give the real one.
Share your fake opinions with me.
The Hanman's, like, snobby side is finally coming out this week, because he's like, I'm into 1930s German movies.
Oh, goddamn. You're really letting Hanman have it.
I watch arty art.
Oh, Hanman, how does that make you feel?
It's okay. I'm the only one who has real opinions, so I don't really have to pay attention to.
Oh, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
You haven't said any of them recently.
Okay. I think we need to roll this back before. Currently unnamed is currently
it's just
in
a roast
spades. Thank you for talking over me. I was suffering. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No. I was suffering to come up with a currently unnamed or like. Currently
okay,
maimed.
Space, what did you think of the film?
Currently maimed.
Okay, yeah, what did I think of the film? I was amazed that there was only one plot the entire time. Like you see, I was like, oh god, how am I gonna like follow what's going on? But literally, whenever I got anxious that like the characters were talking about something that wasn't finding the child murderer, they'd eventually just say, and we have to find that child murderer. And
I'd be, okay, yeah. Every scene really said the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like they don't really do anything to catch the child murderer until
they're
the
really
end.
Bad at their job.
And then I was confused at what was happening with the end with that like really smiley, like kind of tan guy who was like, I won't snitch. I will never snitch. Okay, I'll snitch. Do you remember that guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, have any of you seen The Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yes.
You know, there's a bit
yes,
where
yes, he's all seen your Wes Anderson
thing. No. There's a bit when they're escaping from prison. And they're like in a hole underground, and then the guards all and there's like a hole in one floor, and they're hiding under the floor below.
Yeah.
And the guards are all standing up, and then the people escaping pop out the hole, and then see all the guards. That's directly copied from.
Oh, is it?
But that entire movie, there's a lot of copying because the escape sequence from the museum where that guy gets his fingers chopped off, that's completely taken from another movie. Like second by second, it matches.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a 5-minute sequence. It's just,
damn.
I think it was a Hitchcock movie. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Wow.
But yeah, no, it was just the police trying to find out what they were doing in the building.
Oh, wait, so was that guy like just an informant or like...
No, the guy who they captured was one of the...
Criminals,
yeah.
Who were those criminals? Because they weren't helping the child
murderer.
They were
like the mob. And then they were all just like a really friendly mob, so they were like, we're going to stop this murderer.
No,
he's taking it too far.
But then, the murderer was...
I know who the murderer
making
was.
The police get too the police were too active because they were trying to catch the murderer the whole time, and so it was getting in the way of the criminals, and so they wanted to catch the murderer.
The criminals wanted to catch the murderer because the murderer was distracting the police from
like
hunting
the
criminals.
No, the murderer was making the police like do
paranoid.
More policing.
so they just wanted to be more free.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so that's like if I'm like. Theoretically doing other things on my laptop during lessons apart from
I was watching this film during maths.
Jesus Christ. And then like the person next to me is like watching a 1930s one German film and I'm like stop so that the teacher doesn't come over and tell us to all close our laptops.
Yeah.
Oh great, got it.
Yeah, I think it's also quite interesting that this was at least released in 1931, which was a little before Hitler came into power. The Nazis were the second biggest party in the Reichstag. So it definitely encapsulates the kind of like fear of fascism that was coming into the country, and just foreshadowing for real life events, because the police definitely started to lean on what would become Nazi ideals.
Yeah, well, the guy who's the child killer is meant to represent like the Nazi people, and he says he has a voice in his head which is like forcing him to kill the children.
Oh.
That's like the voice of Hitler speaking.
No way! What?
No. And the director Fritz Lang was like really against the Nazis, and
they
fled the country because of the Nazis.
His mother was a converted Jew. So he was at threat of being killed, and so was Peter Law, who played the killer.
Yeah,
he was of Jewish descent, so both of them fled the country to the US.
Yeah, well, they wanted to make Fritz Lang the head of like making propaganda films.
They still use clips from this movie in propaganda movies.
Yeah,
for the Germans, for the Nazis.
Yeah,
yeah, because he made this film called Metropolis, which like shows this like massive futuristic city. And they were like, we want you to make films for us, but we're going to have to, we're going to delete some of your other anti-Nazi films. And so then he just like left the country overnight.
Did they realize he is like ethnically Jewish?
I don't know. Well, he made a film where the bad guys literally like gives a speech, which is almost a copy of Hitler's speech. While the Nazis were in power, and so they said he was going to ban it, and then he said, "You're going to ban a Fritz Lang film," and then they banned it, and then he like talked to Goebbels a bunch of times, and then just left.
Who's Goebbels?
Yeah, what's
this? He's the head of propaganda.
Oh, sure.
He's very famous.
Okay,
yeah.
Oh,
yes, face.
Oh, sorry,
yeah. GCSE history.
I'm gonna decrease my mic volume here.
Also, fun facts about Fritz Lang. He wore a monocle on set.
Why?
I don't know.
He's just a cool guy.
Just wore a monocle. That's not cool.
Maybe.
He wore a monocle. He was very tyrannical on set. Kind of the same way that like Hitchcock was and Kubrick. Like he's very much the first like auteur, if everyone knows that word. Space, you need a definition of that word.
Auteur sounds like Arthur.
Author. It sounds like author because it means...
Oh.
It basically means someone who's very... It's an artist that you can tell their art, like they're purely their artist. I don't know if that makes sense. It's like the way that if you watch a Wes Anderson movie, you know it's Wes Anderson. He's an auteur. He exercises full creative vision over his movies.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. What's your other trivia?
Straight into trivia.
Honestly, I thought that it's interesting that you're into 1930s dummer movies and not 1920s.
Well, actually, no, I am more into 1920s.
Yeah, because that's the golden era of cinema in Germany.
Yeah.
Because it's Stressman.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. I did GCSE history, in case anyone didn't notice.
And I did not, in case anyone didn't notice. But I do know that World War II took place.
I thought it.
I got those dates right? Yeah.
What did you just say?
Regarding like...
What did you just say? I want an answer.
Who's to say that I'm not about to answer your question right now?
Start of your sentence.
what are you saying, Space?
All I gotta say. I think that it's worse if the child murderer thing is like a metaphor for Hitler and like Nazis, as opposed to just some guy in the 1930s, like understood schizophrenia or like multiple personality disorder, or like
whatever
it is.
No. It was not.
What was it? I'm sure it has a name. What is
it's
it?
It's definitely not DID or schizophrenia.
What he is says it? He hears a voice in his
I
head.
I think it's OCD. I think it's a very extreme case of OCD. Because he does the thing with the whistling as well, like it's a compulsion.
Yeah, true.
I think it's just really extreme OCD.
That actor couldn't actually whistle, and so Fritz Lang had to record himself whistling on top.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
So sad.
Yeah, I guess, we don't actually see him whistling.
Yeah.
Okay, why isn't it schizophrenia?
It just doesn't fit any of the diagnoses of schizophrenia, like any of the symptoms.
What are the symptoms?
Extreme paranoia, hallucinations. Those are the main two. There are more, but I don't think it... Just from general research into schizophrenia, I don't think that it is schizophrenia. He seems too within himself. Like, he's normal until there's a compulsion, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it came off as OCD and as someone who experienced mild OCD. I think it definitely, like, just the way it was portrayed.
Okay, okay.
Well, without the child murdering for me, just personally. To each their own, I guess.
It seems like a much more, like, beautiful thought that, like, in the 1930s, just some people understood, like, really compulsive mental health disorders to that level.
I think it's probably both, because you don't see any of the Nazi parallels until right at the end when he gives his speech in the last shot is that woman saying, protect our children or something, which is obviously directed at protecting the next generation against the Nazis. But until the end, I don't think it's necessarily a Nazi parallel the whole way through.
Death of the author.
Yeah.
Mort de la cheer.
The child murderer is my favorite character. And I think the only character in the film. Are there any other characters? I don't know any other characters.
There's that one that looks like Willem Dafoe.
Don't know. All I know is that there's some chief of police who's like... All I know is that there's a chief of police who every scene he's in, he's like, we have got to catch...
No, that's because you watched the English dubbed version, you idiot.
You watched the English dub? What the hell?
I did. But then I went back when I was rewatching some of the scenes and watched them in the German dubs. And I actually have German originals. I actually have an appreciation for originals now. For the first time in like 5 years of being like an anime's better with dubs person.
No, but anime's different because like it's already a voiceover of a animated character, whereas a real person being voiceover is a completely different thing.
I don't know. Well, no, but also the freaking subtitles in the English version, or like, yeah, they like change like some of the meanings of the things like that, like really, yeah, yeah.
Well, I speak mild German.
I know that Dankeschön means thank you.
Very much. Thank you very much.
Well, that's what you think. But actually, no, in the original German.
I'm correct. I promise. Because danke just means thank you. Or like thanks. Dankeschön. Thank you very much.
But back to the child killer being the only character.
Yeah.
I noticed that a big difference between the types of actors in films from those times and films from now is that they cast people with very interesting faces.
Yeah. He definitely was like way more distinctive looking than everybody else in the cast.
Willem Dafoe.
No, the child killer. Like he was like kind of short and fat and had a baby face.
Yeah, and he had like strange eyes that you could like very easily tell it was him. I loved him. He was the best actor. When he was screaming at the end, I felt so bad for him. Yeah. I was like so scared. And I was basically instantly on his side. Like,
yeah, it's just weird that you see him killing children throughout the whole thing.
See the deaths there.
Yeah. You see him like taking these kids and then like you hear about them instantly dying.
Hello. That's a pretty ball you have there.
Yeah.
What is your name? That's all the dialogue I remember.
It's like, you've got dirt on your shoulder in the mysterious shape of an M in chalk.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was so sad. I was so like excited for the police to like hunt after the guy with M, and then the girl is just like, yeah, and there's the M, and then you just fix that real quick.
She deserves to die. What an idiot.
Oh my god, yes, Jesus Christ. No.
But no, it's so sad when you see her just handing him the knife.
Oh yeah, that.
Oh yeah. Like, oh wait, drop this, sir. Please continue murdering. Yeah.
And does he kill her?
She killed it. That's the twist.
I think he gets chased away before he kills her.
Oh yeah. So we only see him kill one daughter, the girl at the very beginning.
Yeah, but you know he's killed all these people, and you see him going about it a few times, but you still sympathize with him at the end, but you don't like care about this massive criminal gang, even though you've never seen them.
I thought they were so funny. Honestly,
there's
like,
such a good range of characters.
I thought it was just hilarious that this gang of criminals were like, it's just like a nice little town. Like they're so friendly to each other. They clearly like help each other on a regular basis, which is why like this paranoia and mistrust is so extreme. Just like the criminals are also just really friendly. Yeah. They're like, well, this is a step too far, okay? Child murdering? I'm part of the mafia.
Yeah.
I thought this links back to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with the use of utilitarianism. We talked about that a little bit in last episode, so I'm not going to repeat it. Go watch the last episode.
Damn.
Previously on.
Previously on. Get him.
But the question of, should he be killed if it benefits the masses, even if it can't be considered morally correct, or should it be considered morally correct to kill him if on a personal basis he can't help it, but there is a chance that he will kill again. So if you were to follow utilitarianism, absolutely he should be murdered because it helps the most people, brings the most happiness.
I think if they have courts, then they can have prisons. And
no, I'm just saying that's the question of it. The movie, it's a utilitarian.
Yeah, no, but oh wait, by the way, I wasn't implying that you should just throw him in prison. I think that's evil. But like, complicated. But I was surprised that like the main ultimate question of the movie came up 10 minutes before the end. Like, I mean, it's cool.
It's way too long. I'm sorry.
What, the court scene?
No, the movie. The movie is too long. A lot of scenes just repeat themselves. I had to stop 49 minutes in and like take a break for a day because I just couldn't sit through any more of it.
Yeah,
I really liked it after that point. Like, it picked up pace before that.
But the
what is happening?
The attention span for audiences changed a lot since then because at the time when the film was being made, most of the conventions and shortcuts that you see when you watch a film now, where you don't see something happening and instantly you know what's going on, they didn't exist.
Scenes of characters talking and saying the same thing over and over again. It's not a shortcut. We've got to catch the murderer. Have you caught the murderer? No. Well, we've got to catch him.
That murderer.
Did you not hear me the first time? We definitely have to catch this guy. He's murdering children.
I don't remember it being so repetitive.
Yeah, I think during the first half I was doing something else.
I was trying to do something else. There was subtitle because I wasn't watching the English dub.
You were watching the English dub.
I wasn't. You were. I couldn't do anything else whilst watching it.
No, but after about halfway through, I was like,
I was trying to draw.
After halfway through, I was like, oh, this has got me. And then I like full screen.
Yeah, no, but like it gets halfway through before you'd be able to do that.
To be honest, if I hadn't rewatched it, I wouldn't have remembered anything that happened in the first half of the film.
Nothing happens because nothing happens.
Damn.
Sorry.
Fritz Lang in his grave.
But what did you think of the...
I'm like slapping the top of the cup. Just like light wood banging.
what did you think of the film from a technical point of view? Did it feel shoddy or did it feel adequate?
I liked it. I thought there was like a lot of B-roll. Like a lot of it. There was a good use of... I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Chiaroscuro. The use of light and dark is really good. There's a word for it in art. Chiaroscuro. I can spell it out. Does anyone want me to spell it out?
No. I think I know what you mean.
No, chiaroscuro. Chiaroscuro.
Yeah. Oxymoron. After about 10 minutes into the film, I remember being like, whoa, this is like adorable. This is like, I don't know.
Adorable.
No. It's like, it's like being able to tell that like people are working with like very limited technology to do something really incredible.
Yeah. You know, sort of 60 years after the director also, I told you about the film called Metropolis, which is about this like huge city. Kind of like New York is now, but obviously it was made in the 1920s. And so the whole thing was filmed with just film cameras. And they did it all like using mirrors and things for the special effects. And he said that even 60 years after he made it, when people had special effects and things, they'd always ask him how he made Metropolis.
Damn.
It went way over budget. It nearly destroyed the studio that made Metropolis.
Yeah, but it's a great film.
Wait, what special effects were Metropolis? I haven't seen it.
I don't know. I don't know why I tried to answer the question.
they'd have like a model of some really of massive skyscrapers.
Oh, sure.
And then use mirrors to make it look like the people were in the huge city.
Oh, nice. Wow. Yeah. Particularly during the final act, I like stopped thinking like, wow, this is like technically like amazing. And like, you know, I can like really tell that like this must have taken ages to like film every shot. And like, especially the shots where it was just like empty doors that weren't moving that were there to establish like, you know, this room is empty now or whatever.
So much B-roll. And the fact is you can't just gather B-roll on a film camera, it's purposeful.
Like, yeah, like it would take ages and I was like, this is admirable. But during the last act of the film, I like stopped thinking about all the technical stuff because it started cutting like a normal thing, like between the murderer on the ground and like the folks there. Like there weren't like huge gaps or whatever. Just like bang, 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 bang. And I forgot that I was
watching the thing. M was a turning point in between the style of films, which from the 1930s onwards, like the ones you see today, where the editing's seamless and it's normal and it's like a film. And the films previously from the 1920s, which still had a lot left over from the theatre, for example, like the really long shots and sort of overly theatrical acting, which sort of went away with sound.
That comes back a bit, though, like in Hitchcock's era with films like Rope, where it's like the one shot.
Yeah, no, but the film, if you watch a film in the 1930s, you're not like, oh, it's such a badly made film because they were learning how to do it. You just watch the film and it's like a film.
Yeah.
It's in black and white, but it's like you watch it and you don't, it's not like there's a massive margin for error. But films before M, they weren't so seamless. And I think M was the turning point really in films. It was the first sound film with sound by Fritz Lang.
Oh, by Fritz Lang.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't reach the end of the sentence before you were surprised.
No.
It established the neo-noir, or just noir genre, because it's not neo yet. Becomes neo. Neo-noir is when the colour comes.
Yeah.
Huh. When was the first sound film made?
It's like 1927.
I want to say, isn't that the one with the moon?
It's the jazz singer.
I thought it was the one with the moon where he gets like a rocket and... No?
No, that's A Trip to the Moon. That was like 1902.
Oh, okay. That just has music. That doesn't have
sound. A Trip
to
the Moon. Isn't that the first Wallace and Gromit episode?
Shut up.
I think that's a reference thing. That's called a reference.
Wait, is it?
Yeah. Have you guys watched Hugo?
That's so cool. The Hugo Awards? No.
No, the film Hugo. Sorry. He just like gestured. It's like, go on. No, it's just a Spielberg movie. And it's about a kid who likes old movies, and it was my entire film education as a child because it was like about A Trip to the Moon and the guy who made A Trip to the Moon. It was a very interesting kids movie.
Wow,
that's cool.
I can't believe the Wallace and Gromit episode is based on the first film. That's so adorable.
There's like a scene, you know, the first obviously moving image motion picture.
Yeah, Steamboat Willie.
It was a train.
I'm really out of my depth today.
There's all the records of like people being shocked because they thought the train was coming towards them, which were actually falsified, but we'll get back to that at another date. But they basically recreate that scene, but with like an actual train within the movie to show how much film has changed over the years. That they can literally have trains hitting people. Nowadays, we actually hit people with trains.
Damn.
That's what a sorry. That's what the Spider-Man 2 scenes are referenced to. No, it's not. I'm kidding. Now hit Spider-Man with trains.
That's what the Invincible season 1 finale was.
That's so funny.
What am I thinking?
That's what they envisioned when they made the original. People getting plowed to death through a train with a superhero.
Exposing yourself as a real psychopath today, you know.
You brought up that's from Invincible.
Have you seen Wonder Girl?
Wonder Girl
apparently has a really similar scene in it. I really want to watch it. It has like Jane Lynch. It has like an all-star voice cast, and it's like Peppa Pig quality animation. Like, I'm like really curious what it's like. I want to watch
it. I haven't.
But anyway. So I fell asleep when I was watching it the first time. I was watching it like. At 11, and I intended to go to sleep at 11, so I like drifted off while I was watching.
That's so sad. You went to sleep at 11?
Yeah, I did, and I had a great day the next day because I was really good, so...
Well, I'm sleep deprived and depressed, and that makes me cool.
Exactly. more interesting film. I was thinking it ended kind of subtly. I remember like vaguely that like the murderers were becoming sympathetic, and then the next day I like rewatched that scene. But it still ended like really suddenly. It's really sad. Like they're just like take me. Oh, they're like, you know, take me to prison, and then you like go to trial, and that's it. So what's supposed to?
I think that there was There was a distinct lack of the female voice within this movie.
It was written by his wife.
There's what? Still no woman.
Yeah,
there are little to no women. And the fact that there are mothers mourning their dead children is brought up about once at the very end during the trial sequence. Yeah. And it's like, why isn't that a plot line? Because that would make this way more emotionally intriguing.
Yeah, they...
Because it's what they introduced in the first scene. I thought we were going to follow the mother.
Yeah.
Elsie, whatever her name is.
Yeah, I feel like they could have gone harder on the emotion, on the actual killing the child rather than the criminal gang.
Because it's all all these men tracking down the dead child murderer.
It's also all these men talking about how they want to track down.
It's men in boardrooms. Yeah. My favorite type of movie.
It was cool when he intercut between.
I'm destroying the office.
Do you remember the bit where intercut between the criminals talking and the police talking?
Nope.
Vaguely.
it's the bit where they all make their plan to catch.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got really confused because I couldn't actually tell which room was which. And
it's hard.
There are criminals in the police office.
Yeah,
it'd be easier in a color film because you have a different color scheme for the rooms.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but the rooms just look really similar. I actually think they might have just repurposed the same set.
But I think that may have been one of the first intercuts in film history.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, in a non-montage way, yeah.
Wow, it must have been so hard. So what are they doing? Are they how does it work? Because I know there's
What part of the movie are you talking about? What are they doing?
No, sorry, I mean, I know there's a physical line of film. I know that to dissolve stuff, you have to pour in acid or something. And that's about the limit of my understanding. So if you're cutting stuff together, are you
sticking different rolls together.
Okay, so you're getting the different rolls, each one, and then just cutting and then sticking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that doesn't sound that.
And then for if you're doing rotoscope, which was done for stuff like Star Wars, you're cutting out the shape of the film over something else.
Yeah, you don't cut it out, you expose it in, you have three layers of different exposures that
then you
green screen.
You cut it.
Yeah, but
sometimes cut the actual film to get the shape of a person through the next layer.
Jesus Christ, what?
It's really finicky.
Wouldn't that take 100 million years to cut out a person?
I don't think they cut it out.
They
do it with exposing it, exposing the negative.
No, but that's where rotoscoping comes from, the idea of cutting out.
I know how in Superman, they'd film him just standing up doing his Superman position against a black screen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have just a shot of the city.
Yeah, but it's
because of placing the layers of film on top of each other, the black goes transparent. So you just see the non-black stuff, which is Superman, which then they put on top of the
Yeah, but for more complicated city. Scenes, it becomes a problem.
Yeah, probably.
So for miniatures, how to place a person within a miniature.
Mm.
It becomes rotoscope. Because that's double exposure, that's not rotoscoping. They're different.
Sure.
Have you guys ever made a film physically with film like that?
I want to.
Me too.
In my most recent project that I'm currently working on.
project.
I want to shoot a sequence in film. That was the entire story. Do you want to hit, I can explain it. It's just going to take a while.
What the film is about? Surely you're not supposed to talk about stuff before it's done. Well, that's my general policy.
Well, I won't tell you then. Sending me your books.
No, the first draft was done, so it was okay to share. Okay. Because does it not affect your motivation whatsoever?
What do you mean? Well, it's commitment then, isn't it? I've told someone that I'm doing it, so I have to do it now.
Not really, because you get a bunch of the satisfaction of as though you had done it. But without it. Like when I was writing.
No, because if I don't tell anyone I'm going to do something, I just don't do it.
but then, I don't know, when I was writing Quitmania, I wanted other people to see the story so badly, but I forbid myself from talking about it until the first draft was done. So then the only way to get that satisfaction was to keep writing.
Now, see, I do peer pressure. I peer pressure myself into writing. So if I tell someone I'm going to do something, they're oh, that's so cool. Send it to me when you're done. They keep on reminding me, you need to send me that to me when you're done. Oh no, I need to actually do it, get it done.
Maybe someone should have peer pressured Fritz Lang into putting music
There's just really awkward silence moment.
But no, because there's, it's not, they don't even have the sound of the recording.
Not even like ambient. It's just dead.
It makes me wonder if they had music, but it got lost or something.
Oh.
There are multiple cuts of this movie at different lengths.
Wait, yeah. Could we have a moment to simulate for the listeners what it was like?
A moment of silence for the lost film.
the lost music track. Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Music.
Yeah, but no, it was weird because it's not like they didn't have, it's not like they didn't put music on films at that time. They did it all the time for silent films, and they made a huge deal about how they were going to do the music when they played it live, and then when they figured out how to record music. And films with sound from that time, they always had a soundtrack apart from M.
It's that awkward silence that really makes the movie.
I think I quite like it without music, actually. I didn't mind it. I didn't miss the music. And it's like,
I wanted some ambient noise. I don't necessarily need music. I just needed like sound. I thought my speakers were broken.
Really? But what about those cool footsteps? Like the footsteps sounded awesome of just like, you know, the murderer walking.
Yeah, but that's still sound. Like I just want some sound.
Yeah, no, it's when everyone was like rushing about and they didn't have sound and
just crowd noises.
They could. I would have liked to hear like all the footsteps.
Yeah, there were so many clips of just like hundreds of people like walking all about. Like, do you know those clips I'm talking
about?
Your
hand
where like the crowds would all just like zoom up onto like an airplane or something. I don't know where they were going at that point. Hey,
it was a bus, wasn't it?
Was it? What was that whole thing about them checking their passports underground? Did that ever come up again?
I think that was meant to be an example of the police
activity. Yeah, that was like fascism.
Yeah,
a police state.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, because none of those people were ever important again as far as I know. Who was that guy in the corner underneath the leaves? Was that the murderer?
Like, no, it was just some random guy.
Was he?
I don't know. I think maybe it was
a lot of plot threads just like left hanging in this movie.
Yeah, but maybe that's because we saw the wrong cut. Maybe the director's cut had a whole thing.
I watched the director's cut because it was really long.
Mine was like 1 hour 49.
Yeah, that's the director's cut because that's 111 minutes. I think that equals. There was a cut that was like under 100. It was like 80 something minutes.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That was the theatrical cut. So we watched a longer version.
I think I watched both. I think the English version was an hour and a half and the German with subtitles was 1 hour 49. Wait, so you think that there could have been a cut where there could have been a whole B plot with that guy that just
I don't think there was ever a B plot.
Probably not.
I think there should have been a B plot with the police officers or something, or like the gangs, like give them something to do. They have their character exists only in their capture of the murderer.
Let's do a Joyce Byers, Stranger Things, like, need to find my son. Wait, have you ever seen Stranger Things?
I have. I just thought you were going to say, like, let's hang up string lights and see if the director speaks to us from the grave.
No. They should just hang up string lights and see if, like, I don't know, the murderer.
You just hang up string lights. They look cool.
Yeah. That's also true.
This has been a really awkwardly silent like podcast episode, which I think is fitting for this movie. But I think it's hard to talk about because there, as much as like it's very interesting in film history and within its own context of the country, there is not really much to talk about beyond like the ending of the movie, within the actual concept of the movie.
There were some really cool shots. As the beginning bit with the lady carrying the stuff up the staircase. And the kids playing outside.
That really reminded me of, I've forgotten the name of it. You know the first dolly shot? Dolly zoom, sorry.
I think I know what you mean.
The one with the staircase.
What, in Vertigo?
I think it was. Might have been.
Yeah.
It's really big. Yeah, the first, the staircase one.
Yeah.
It makes sense if it's in Vertigo.
Yeah, I can't remember if, because everyone's always like, oh yeah, Alfred Hitchcock invented the dolly zoom in Vertigo. But, I feel like Fritz Lang did it in M.
No, he didn't.
I feel like
he didn't. He just straight up did it.
Fine. Forgive me.
And our winner in Mike 2 is winner by technical knockout.
He didn't. It was just a still shot of a staircase. He did a lot of whip pans, which was obviously very like Wes Anderson-y nowadays.
Hmm.
Yeah, but he didn't feel as whimsical as Wes Anderson.
No, it was about Psycho Killer.
I mean the whip pens.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I guess vaguely approaching wrapping up, guess we might as well say like
thoughts and recommendations.
No. I mean explicit thoughts on like the dilemma at the end.
Like, I'm against the death penalty personally. I had an English teacher back in like year 8 who was for it.
Yeah.
He was kind of weird.
That doesn't seem like the strongest argument.
Yeah. Once I walked into class and my friend was pretending I didn't exist and he joined in for 15 minutes.
Whoa. Damn.
No, he said it's because prisons were overpopulated and therefore you should start killing some of them.
Damn.
Oh. Which is not like, it's not even a moral argument. It's like a logistics one, which isn't really the problem.
Hmm. Yeah, but what do you think of murderer specifically? Does he have a name? Charlie?
Colin Peter, yeah, that's called, the name of the actor.
His surname is Beckett or something.
Beckett. That sounds like...
Like Thomas Beckett?
No, like B-E-C-K-E-R-T.
Beckett. Oh, okay, Beckett. That's better. Yeah, because Beckett is too badass for him. But
I wanted something more German.
It's pretty German.
Like
Liechtenstein.
Langweilig. Sorry, that just means boring. I didn't even realize I meant said it until I said it. Sorry, I've just been in a German lesson.
Yeah.
We're
okay.
Talking about opinions.
What do you...
I just got to say my brother was annoying.
Damn. Rip. What do you think about the final conflict? Would you kangaroo court the guy's ass, or am I allowed to say that?
What does that even mean? Just a compile of like random words.
I don't.
What is your ethical viewpoint on the death penalty?
Well, it's funny when in the final scene, because you almost sympathise with the guy with the child killer Beckett when he gives his whole speech, but then at the same time you also sympathise with the like kids who are getting killed the whole time. I didn't really sympathize with the mob who just like were annoyed that he was disrupting their activities or whatever.
Yeah.
One of them was like wanted for 2 cases of murder anyway.
Yeah, who the hell was that? Yeah, was that? Yeah, what was that? That was so quick and I was like, "What?" And then,
I thought he was just like a nice mafia member. Why is he murdering people now? He was my favorite character.
Do you remember it said when, because he was called like Safecracker or something.
Yeah, which means he's like good at cracking safe jokes.
But no,
sorry.
Because do you remember in the bit when he was just being introduced, how they said he was breaking a safe in London,
yeah,
and then these
like,
people came and they were pointing their guns at him. And then suddenly all like 2 of the people who were pointing their guns at him were dead and he managed to escape.
I didn't see that.
Nor did I.
You don't remember that?
A scene that took place in London.
No, they were just talking about
it. They didn't show
it. Oh, no. No memory.
Head empty.
Well, there's a scene in which
we get the idea.
but you're saying you don't really sympathize with the murderers in the mob.
Yeah, but they kind of have a point about stopping him from doing any more harm. But
that's what prisons.
It was like they were going to put him in a mental asylum because it's not like strictly speaking his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, but if he gets out, he'll murder some other people. But I don't know. Can't they just keep him in the?
Yeah, that's what the defense said, right? He was like, "What else are asylums for?" Right? This dub goes hard.
I think that there's a certain irony to this movie in hindsight of like, if he was sent to a mental asylum, he would have been killed by the Nazis anyway because they were murdering people with mental health issues.
Oh God.
Yeah, I couldn't keep that out of my head. I was like, he's getting killed either way, like in 3 years' time.
Yeah, I guess Fritz Lang couldn't have predicted that. But yeah, okay, I guess also one thing I'm confused about, if it's a metaphor for, if Fritz Lang hated the Nazis and Beckett is supposed to be, Beckert is supposed to be like a Nazi, and then the voices in his head are supposed to be like Hitler or whatever, whoever's telling him what to do, the Führer, then why is...
But I don't
he
know if
butchered that
he's not he's
so
meant
badly.
To be he's meant to be like the vessel of the Nazis.
You guys watch Jojo Rabbit?
No. I know it's about
really?
Yeah.
Good job. Anyway, the kid and how he's like indoctrinated and he has like the imaginary.
Yeah, it's like
his
that
head.
Kind of thing.
It's like that. I was going to use this as an example for you, but you haven't watched the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but why is the movie so sympathetic towards him if Fritz Lang hates Nazis? Isn't that a paradox?
Well, he said it wasn't meant to be a defense for the Nazis.
It's like sympathetic to the German people's indoctrination rather than the indoctrination itself. Because obviously murder of a child is bad and the voice telling him to do it is bad.
And even
the person himself isn't bad.
Even Beckett knows that what he's doing is bad and he hates himself for it. But he can't not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think the ending is so grim. I felt so bad for him. When he was like, in the English dub, he's just like screaming, being like, I demand to be taken to court for a fair trial. And I'm just like, oh my God, like that is like terrifying. Like, there's like all these random furious people like deciding whether he lives or dies.
He murdered their children.
I don't know. I think that, I think I was kind of thinking while I was watching it, like, it's maybe better to be looking at it from like kind of a faraway perspective, because then you can apply like generic principles of like empathy and blah, blah, blah without being overshadowed by grief. So that, you know, the law in like its best possible form, or like ethics in its best possible form, can still be carried out, even if it's by people who are a bit further removed from the situation, just so they can apply the principles regularly.
Yeah, I feel like I am personally like really against the death penalty. But in this movie, because we'd been watching him do like all these awful things, you do feel yourself leaning more towards this like mob of people, but it doesn't quite go far enough with it because it doesn't focus on the grief aspect. So I think it's missing something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the purpose of the movie is to be the third person, like watching it further away to give unbiased.
Yeah, we could have gone closer in, zoomed closer.
At the woman, we looked too closely at the men, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. This film box pass a Bechdel test?
No, it does not. The men don't even pass the Bechdel test because they're always talking about the stupid child murderer.
Yeah.
Wait. How many times does it have to be two women?
Once
at the beginning.
Define the Bechdel test. Two women
for at least 2 minutes have to discuss something other than a man.
I've never heard this 2 minutes thing.
It has to equate over the entirety of the movie, 2 minutes, two women talking about something other than a man.
Wait, but that's even hard for like an average, like,
2 minutes is not that long for like. No, but that's fine for a TV episode. This is for movies.
Okay.
So for like an hour and 49-minute movie, 2 minutes is not a lot, spaced over the entire thing. Like, you can have, like, one comment that lasts, like, 5 seconds, and as long as it reoccurs.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was the bit at the beginning with those two women talking about the kid, but that was, like, half a minute.
Yeah, I guess it's still in context of a man, though, no? Because of the murder?
Well, you don't know that it's a man.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but okay, final thoughts?
I thought it's important for film history. I'm not sure. I think it matters who's watching this. If you're interested in film, it's a must purely because of the history. I can't say I recommend it to a regular person. I don't think it will hold a modern audience's attention.
I would dare say, I feel kind of bad saying it, but like maybe just skip to 1 hour 20 and watch that. Like,
Watch the ending scene, watch the ending monologue.
Yeah, because it's really interesting, it's really emotive, and I'm not sure if you need the other stuff. My favorite scenes also are just like the murderer, like following the kids, because it was just like really suspenseful. That could be like a half hour cut. I could do that.
Yeah.
Release the space.
Well, maybe that's what the theatrical release was.
Oh, yeah.
It was still like over an hour.
Yeah, but that would be my rec. I didn't mind the rest of it. But the ending was like pretty fantastic as like a philosophical dilemma, and I really liked it, and it was really emotive, and the acting was really good with the child murderer. Enjoyed. I reckon.
I also agree with space. I think that the parts of it would be hard to go along with like modern audiences' attention spans, I guess. But I mean, obviously I recommended this film because other films that I would have otherwise recommended had way more of the like requiring a high attention.
I love you, Hanma, but you have such a weird taste in movies.
Precisely. Yeah.
Okay. Recommendations based off of this movie? I'm going to recommend The Lighthouse, PD, because that one guy looks like Willem Dafoe. And also, it's got like the same kind of like vibe, you know, black and white. It's in like the square aspect ratio. It's got like that kind of suspense, thriller, horror thing going on. Yeah, I'd recommend that. Lighthouse.
There's this one Black Mirror episode that is like the exact question of like, how should we treat people who do horrible crimes? But like, it's like a thriller and it's so cool. And it's like season two. Oh, that, don't know what it's called. Season two something. it's really good.
What happens in it?
Basically, I guess I'll just spoil it. There's this like woman wakes up with her memory wiped and like a bunch of people are like trying to kill her, like chasing her around the house, like following her with like axes and stuff, chasing her around the forest. And everybody in the town is like this. And then eventually I think they catch her and like kill her or something. And then she like wakes up and she's like in front of a game show. Spoilers for the episode from now. And then they say that like she like abused and like beat up children. Abused children. And this is like her punishment, like to wake up and like feel this terror. And then they just like laugh at her or something on the stage, like a ton of people, like screw you, how they do this. And then they wipe her memory and start it again.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I recommend that. Yeah. And Hammer, what do you rec?
I recommend the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Oh, you haven't mentioned that in a while.
Because it's the classic German expressionist film, more classic than M. And if you want to talk about German expressionist films, you're going to have to talk about The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
You're going to have to talk to Hanmer.
And you're going to have to talk to me. But also aside from the artistic side of The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, the story has a lot of similar moral dilemmas to M.
Say the title again.
The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
It gets the same vibes as Everything Everywhere.
It does, doesn't it? And we haven't decided on that movie, have we?
What were you two... They were talking before we started the show about this suspenseful next movie that we're going to watch. And they refused to tell me before we started filming.
Yeah, but it is fair... I mean, it's like kind of similar in being kind of old-fashioned. I wouldn't mind doing something more modern and then saving.
Oh my God, just tell me.
We were considering Brazil.
You were talking about that when we first met.
Oh, yes.
It was like, here's what defines my personality. This is my favorite movie.
I wouldn't mind doing something more modern.
Do you think we should space out the old ones?
Yeah. I mean, we space out everything, you know?
Isn't it your turn to choose? Because I chose one. Hammer chose one.
Didn't I choose the last one?
No, I chose...
Eternal Sunshine.
I chose that. Yeah, oh, sorry, no, I know, I think like a rude way is like I suggested it and then we should watch that because no one else has come up with an idea.
I'll pick one.
You left a space in the room.
I'll have to think of one. Yeah. We didn't say last time, right? We just procrastinated and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
After the show. Yeah. We shall leave you in suspense. Thank you for listening to a currently unnamed film podcast. I'm Jessica.
I'm Hanmer.
And I'm Space.
Bye.